So when you send a message on WhatsApp or buy something online, how do you know that no one else can read your data?
The answer lies in that, involving prime numbers and many more clever tricks.
Welcome to the first episode of Tech Tangents.
My name is Pranav Mittal and my colleague,
Bowen Samaya.
This is our first episode for the podcast, and we wanted to introduce ourselves first. Tech Tangents, your favourite STEM podcast. Ever wondered about the use of all this mathematical and computational theory you hear about all the time? Welcome to Tech Tangent, where we go on tangents about real-world applications of fundamental theories.
Yeah, so this is a podcast with two aspiring maths and computer science students, Pranav Mittal and Rowan Samaya. We've got the aim of inspiring and educating others. You can learn some essential skills and knowledge for personal growth and deeper insights into your futures.
So Rowan, what is cryptography?
So cryptography is the art of secure communication, making sure messages can be sent privately, even if somebody is listening. Today, cryptography secures trillions of dollars of transactions every day, protects personal chats, and it powers cryptocurrencies as well. So it's incredibly important. But didn't you say something before about prime numbers? What did you mean about that?
You might be wondering how can a number that is only divisible by one and itself help with maintaining privacy and security over the internet? Isn't that a bit too simple and basic to be the reason behind keeping the trillions of dollars and all those messages secure and private? It does seem extremely simple, but as we know, prime numbers keep going and can get very unpredictable on a large scale. And that is the key behind the science.
But wait, hold on a second. How on earth does that link to cryptography?
In cryptography, we use very large prime numbers to create locks that are easy to set but almost impossible to pick on. Finding two big prime numbers is easy. We can get a computer to generate two big prime numbers, times them together. This is used to make a public and a private key to keep data safe during things like transmission, trying to get accessed by others, etc. I'll go into detail about getting to the keys and why is it nearly impossible to get to the keys and make them up. Wait, what was the other method apart from prime numbers that you mentioned?
So that would be modular arithmetic functions. Modular arithmetic is a system for arithmetic for integers, where numbers wrap around after reaching a certain value. That's called the modulus. For example, it's sort of like a math-style clock. If you go 10 o'clock and you add 5 hours to that, it's 3 o'clock, not 15 o'clock. So working with remainders.
Oh, yeah. And this clock maps create predictable patterns for insiders, but chaotic patterns for outsiders, which is perfect for hiding information, isn't it?
Exactly. So moving on to the main stuff, we have RSA encryption. That stands for Rivest-Shamir Alderman Authentication. It provides public and private keys for message encryption and user authentication. Importantly, the keys aren't shared. RSA encryption doesn't require key sharing. That provides lots of additional security. RSA encryption is also really fast. It's faster relative to other encryption methods like DSA. Lastly, it also provides data integrity. The data can't be changed as it moves from one user to the other, so you always know if it's going to be correct.
In simple terms, we generate two big primes, multiply them together to get a public number. Now, that can be used to make a public key, which is open for everyone else, which can encrypt the message, and we get a private key, which only the owner has access to, which is used to decrypt the message. To go in detail about the keys in RSA. In RSA, the private key is made up of two components, D and N. D is the private exponent and N is the modulus, which is the same as in the public key. This can be written in a coordinate style, D, N. D is made from the steps of B. We choose two very large prime numbers. Let's call them P and Q. You can calculate the modulus, which is n, let's call that n equals p times q, so the product of the two large prime numbers. And now, you might be wondering, how do we use that to get to d? You found the modulus, but that's not the value of d. Well, we can use this in Euler's totient. The equation is Euler's totient equals p minus 1 times q minus 1. And you might be wondering, I've heard the name Euler. Yes, he is the same Euler as the one that invented E. So, enough of that tangent. Choose a public exponent, E, that is coprime to our order solution. So whatever value we get for p minus 1 times q minus 1, we choose a public exponent e that is coprime to it. Then, to find e, the modular inverse of e mod the Euler solution. This can be written as d multiplied by e must equal 1 mod our Euler solution. As complicated as that sounds, imagine doing it without the values of p and q. So working backwards, that's a big, big nightmare. It's very hard to compute without knowing the values of p and q. Moving on, the public key. Luckily, that's not as complicated. The public key is written as a coordinate style 2 in terms of e, n. N, again, is the modulus, as I mentioned, is the same in the public key, the product of the two large prime numbers, n equals p times q. E equals the public exponent. This can be any chosen standard value, for example, 65537, 63357, 121254, anything, a standard value chosen.
Well, that sounded quite complicated, but you can think of it in much simpler terms. So imagine a padlock. Anyone can lock a padlock. That's like your public key. Anyone can lock it. But only you have the key to unlock it. That's the private key. So anyone can see the public key and lock that. But only you have the key, the private key, that can unlock it. The public key locks the message, but only the private key can unlock it. This padlock, metaphorically, is really strong there. So to give you an idea of that, if you factor a 617-digit number into primes, it could take longer than the age of the universe with current computers. But if you have the key, it takes less than a minute.
Now for the interesting bit, where can all this be used in real life? The moment you've been all waiting for. First of all, we have online banking, which is, in my opinion, the most interesting example. When you see HTTPS on a website, obviously we know that it stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol, secure. That stands for secure. When you see HTTPS on a website, it means your data, like a credit card number, is encrypted using methods based on RSA or its successors, mainly RSA because it is considered one of the very, very most secure and trustworthy, reliable forms of encryption and cryptography. When you buy something online, your credit card number will be encrypted so that no one just gets access to your credit card number and has access to your bank account. That is extremely useful, isn't it? Moving on, we also have WhatsApp or any other communication app that encrypts your data. End-to-end encryption means your messages are locked so that even WhatsApp itself cannot read them. It's secure from the employees and everyone else. Only the person you intend to send it to has access to them.
Yeah, so another important one is securing emails and digital signatures. So emails can be digitally signed and then verified using cryptographic keys to ensure that they haven't been tampered with. Signatures are safely secure and require public and private keys to be used, and they cannot be inherited or accessed by unintended users.
Let's go into the brief history of cryptography. Ancient civilization used basic codes to hide their secrets. The Caesar cipher, used by Julius Caesar, shifted each letter of the alphabet by a fixed amount, say, shifting A to a D, B to an E, and so on. So moving it by three alphabets, for example. So every alphabet is moved by a certain number.
Yeah, I've seen that before, but it didn't look that complicated. These early methods were simple enough that with some effort, a clever person could crack them just by guessing or noticing the patterns.
I mean, obviously, yeah. But as technology advanced, especially during wars like World War II, cryptography became more and more complex. Machines like the Enigma code forced mathematicians like Alan Turing to invent new ways of breaking code using mathematical reasoning.
Yeah, and from there, maths moved to the center of cryptography. It wasn't about hiding information in clever ways anymore. It was about creating problems that are mathematically impossible to solve efficiently, unless you have a secret.
And that's how cryptography grew from secret military messages into a foundation for our global digital economy today, storing billions of financial transactions, emails, and even your personal photos and messages. Imagine your message got leaked. I mean, let's not think about that. But, you know, that was pretty painful, isn't it? Anyway, other mathematical problems that come under cryptography. RSA relies on prime numbers, but it's not the only game in town. Different areas of maths have been recruited to make encryption even stronger and more efficient.
Yes, so one important idea is elliptic curve cryptography, or ECC. That's much easier to say. Instead of using big prime numbers, ECC uses the maths of elliptic curves. They're beautiful shapes formed by equations like y squared equals x cubed plus ax plus b.
That does seem beautiful, doesn't it? The interesting thing about elliptic curves is that they have a group of structure, meaning you can add points together in a special way. It's easier to do that addition, but if someone only sees the result, it's very hard to work backwards. Similarly with public and private keys, you cannot work backwards. I mean, you can, but it's pretty much near impossible. What did you say? The age of the universe?
Yeah, beyond that.
Yeah, so it's similar principles. It's extremely hard to work backwards.
Because of that, ECC can provide the same level of security as RSA, but with much smaller key sizes. That's perfect for things like mobile phones and any sort of Internet of Things devices, where you want strong security, but you also want to save battery and storage.
Another big mathematical challenge using cryptography is the discrete logarithm problem. It's a bit like if you know that 2 cubed is 8, it's easier to calculate. But if someone just gives you 8 and asks, what power of 2 gives 8? God, what power of 2 gives 8?
3.
You want to think of it. But anyway, you get the point. It's much harder, right? Especially on a bigger scale, with very large numbers and modulus involved.
Yeah, so techniques like Diffie-Hellman key exchange rely on that difficulty. They allow two people, say you and your bank, to create a shared key, even over an insecure network, without ever directly transmitting the key.
Real-world applications and impact beyond the internet of cryptography. Cryptography isn't just about websites and online shopping. I know it excites a bit of you, but it's critical for protecting almost every part of modern life.
Yeah, so have a think about your smartphone, all your messages, your photos, and even your face to unlock. They all rely on encryption to keep your data private.
In healthcare, cryptography provides medical records. Hospitals need to store patient data securely, not just for privacy, but because leaking it could be life-threatening, as it holds a lot of sensitive information.
Yeah, also governments and militaries, they rely heavily on cryptography as well. From encrypting sensitive communications to securing classified documents, cryptography is really important for governments and militaries.
Imagine Germany using cryptography and telling England, oh yeah, we're going to attack this part at this time. Obviously, that's a big loss to them, isn't it? They know where to receive the attack. And even with merging areas like digital voting systems relying on encryption to make sure votes are fairly and securely counted without risk of tampering.
So now we're going to expand on this by looking at the future of cryptography, namely with like quantum computers. And that's the big challenge coming, isn't it? Quantum computers.
If large-scale quantum computers become practical, they could solve the prime factorization problems very quickly, breaking the RSA encryption in minutes, not centuries. That does seem a bit concerning, doesn't it?
Don't you worry, Pranav, because that's why researchers are already working on post-quantum cryptography. These new cryptographic systems are built on math problems that, even with quantum power, would still remain hard to crack.
Whoa. Instead of relying on factoring primes, they might use lattice-based problems, code-based cryptography, or even new versions of elliptic curves, as we mentioned before. It's a whole new frontier for applied mathematics. Make sure you do maths in university now.
So that's why applied mathematics is so important. It doesn't just protect the present, it's shaping how we defend the future as well.
Yeah, but I think everyone's had enough of our tangents and our jokes. So overall, from ancient prime numbers to Euler's totient to post-quantum cryptography, they're all used in all sorts of industries when dealing with online data, for example, modern banking or messages/communications app. Communication apps. Doesn't matter, Snapchat, WhatsApp, Facebook, whatever you use. Matt sits silently behind almost everything we do online, keeping our digital world safe. All these examples provided come under cryptography and ensures data cannot be accessed by unauthorized people. It provides a mix of privacy and security of personal data, which is essential to keep the internet running. Otherwise, there would be a massive crash and everyone would be looking to hack or intercept personal data as a job. Now, the aim of this podcast is not to worry you about your messages getting leaked or how in the future quantum computers are going to take over and find out everything about you. That is not the aim. The aim is to educate you, interest you, and develop our interest in this topic.
So our first episode is now coming to a close. I know I've definitely learned. So our first episode is now coming to a close. I know I've definitely enjoyed learning about cryptography. What about you, Pranav?
I really enjoyed it as well.
It's a bit scary though, isn't it? What all of this could do and what this is that's protecting our data.
Yes, I did find it very interesting and it is very scary because I do feel like as time progresses, it will become less and less secure. And with the news of post-quantum cryptography, it does sound a bit reassuring. But, you know, this is to spread awareness, to keep everyone alert, you know, guide everyone, to tell everyone about the world we're living in, you know, spread interest in STEM. That's the aim. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for the next episode.
Goodbye.